very good friends, John and Rosalie. And we were discussing putting together a catalog, and they helped me quite a bit. And some of the things that we've done together, camping and hiking together, and things like that, we just decided to put in items that were of good quality that we have tried, things that I have found in the surplus business to be of good quality. There's some junk out there. There's a lot of salvage. Myself, I pay a little bit more to the wholesalers, and I get the better items. And some of the equipment that you'll find, I've seen some advertisements, for instance, for LC2 gear, which is your suspenders, your pistol belt, canteen cover, and such. And some of these people put it together using used equipment, and it's much cheaper than mine. When I put my equipment together, as it's listed in the catalog, it's brand new equipment. It's all brand new. The only thing that is used in the LC2 suspender unit is the first aid pouch, or the individual soldier's first aid box. They are used excellent number one condition, but everything else is brand new. These items, when the military gets rid of them for salvage, that's about what a lot of it is. It's just salvage. They're discolored. A lot of it is frayed. The suspender clips lose their tension, things of this nature. They have rips in the butt packs. They've been repaired. Nothing wrong with that. But when I decided to put the kit together, I decided to put something together that would be brand new, because it would be used quite often. The medium Aleph pack with frame is used number two, but it's in real good condition.
Now, one of the reasons we want to do this is because a lot of people don't know what you're talking about. What's an Aleph pack?
All right, an Aleph pack is the pack that you wear on your back, and we sell them with and without frames. In the kit, we do sell them with frames, the kidney pads, shoulder straps. They're a grade two on the pack. And if you used a new one, it would raise the cost quite substantial. So I found some real good used ones that I put together as far as that goes, in as much as you wouldn't be using it as much as you would the LC2 gear.
Now, here you go again. What's an LC2 gear?
Well, that's the suspender. The suspender and pistol belt.
Okay, now you got to remember that everybody out there doesn't know what you're talking about. So you got to stop using those terms, and that's why we're doing this show, so you can explain to them what this stuff really is.
Okay, the LC2 suspender unit is your suspenders, pistol belt, canteen, butt pack, poncho, first aid kit, a first aid pouch with a bandage. That's what we refer to as the LC2 suspender outfit.
Now, when you say suspenders, do you use it to hold up your pants?
No, these are connected to the pistol belt to hold the pistol belt in place around your waist, so you don't walk down street or hiking or whatever and start waiting and pulling your pants down. These hold that type of equipment in place on your waist and on your shoulders where it should be.
Now, when you say pistol belt, you're not talking about what they see in the Western movies, a leather belt with a six-shooter hanging from it.
No, this is a military pistol belt with eyelets. It's made of heavy web construction. It has heavy-duty buckles on it. And the front buckle is a quick-release style rather than the old brass turn-type buckle. This one just slides together, and you can just flick it with your thumb, and it's unbuckled.
Okay, we got somebody on the phone here that's been waiting for a while, so we'll see what they've got to say, and then we'll get back into this. Hello, you're on the air. You're not on the air. They hung up. Folks, if you're not going to wait, don't call. Okay? Okay, let's get back to this, and I see a lot of packs here. You keep talking about an Alice pack. I see an OD Korean Army Infantry backpack, a cotton canvas rucksack, a GIOD canvas Vietnam era butt pack. I see an Israeli paratrooper shoulder bag, a European style rucksack, a NATO cotton rucksack with straps, used grade 2 Alice pack, and a new Alice pack. What's the difference between all these things?
Okay, on the market from overseas, in your European countries, they recycle their used equipment just as we do in the U.S. Army or U.S. military. And these things come available on the market. A lot of them are good quality, made in Germany, Belgium. We've got some real nice Alpine packs in from Switzerland. And then we have some the European style pack is the new style that they use for every day. It's not of military design. Then we have the Korean Army Infantry Pack, which is a small, lightweight nylon pack fashioned after the World War II Massoud Shoulders Pack.
It's just the right size for a child, too, folks. In fact, that's Pooh's personal choice. She chose that. That's her pack, and that's what she wears.
Yes, and it's made of lightweight nylon, and it has a rain flap on it, and it's pretty water resistant. And from children from very small to 12, 13 years old, it's an ideal size. It has it's relatively inexpensive at $9.95.
Let's go to the phone and see what's going on here. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Jeffrey from New Orleans.
Hi, Jeffrey. How are you?
Well, pretty good. After unfortunately hearing 35 errors you made last night,
well,
I spotted them.
Yeah, they're not errors. They were intentional, my friend.
Well, we'll get to that another night. The reason I called is this. I have an old, what's called a U.S. mail pack that I've been using on my back to take groceries and so on. Since I'm blind, I don't have an automobile, so I have to carry stuff on my back, and the mail bag I have is finally wearing out. What do you people have in your catalog that's equivalent to that, where you can put it on your back and put about 80 to 100 pounds of groceries in it and be able to walk with it?
Well, sir, you would probably be interested in having the large Alice-type military pack with the frame. It would be a little bit more convenient for carrying that type of weight rather than the, I assume it's the leather shoulder bag that you have?
It's a canvas. It looks like a U.S. mail bag and has a clip on the top. You put it through three holes and you clip it. And it has two shoulder straps and it's an unframed situation.
Okay. If you didn't want to use the frame, you could go with the NATO rucksack, which would be of good size. It would be probably good for about 50 or 60 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't catch your address of your catalog.
My address there is Surplus and Stuff, P.O. Box.
Surplus and Stuff, P.O. Box.
3300-3300.
Surplus Stuff, P.O. Box, 3300.
St. John's, Arizona.
St. John, Arizona.
85936.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll keep listening.
Thank you very much, sir.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, let's get back to this. Now, you're talking about these different packs, but what I was trying to get at is, why is this called an Alice pack, and why is it any better than any other pack?
Well, it's called an Alice pack because of the abbreviation. All-purpose lightweight individual carrying equipment. This is what the our military has nicknamed it. And it's made of heavy-duty nylon in construction. And it has your nylon carrying straps with it. It has several pockets, three large ones to the outside. You open up your flap and you have your main chute with a separate compartment on the inside. And you just can store a lot of equipment in it. It also has slots around it where you can attach other smaller pouches with Alice clips. These are the new clips that the military uses for attaching equipment to your pistol belt and to your Alice pack or whatever you're going to be using.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. How are you?
Just fine.
This is Mitch calling from Mississippi.
Hi, Mitch.
I have two things to discuss with you. One, last night I had two people listening for the first time, and it surprised me and disappointed me to hear that your interpretations, but I explained to them that you don't normally go through biblical prophecy and so forth like that.
Now, did you hear the beginning of the show tonight?
Yes, I did.
Well, then you know why I did it.
Right, I understand why you did it.
Okay.
But still, Friday night you said you were going to go into an explanation on modifying the 375 H&H.
No, Friday night was a rerun. You were listening to shortwave. WWCR had problems, and we were on satellite with a ladies' night show hosted by Carolyn, and WWCR was having trouble picking up satellites, so they picked a tape out of a drawer and reran it.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Well, I wasn't either. Carolyn was doing the show. I was at home.
Oh, okay, because I had put together a bunch of numbers on the 300 Win Mag, which gives the average person a lot more access to a lot more yardage and a lot more foot-poundage at further distances without any adjustments in the 375 H&H, and I was all prepared to discuss that with you, so it's...
No, it was a rerun. On shortwave, people listening on satellite heard the real show.
Oh, man. Okay, well...
And we have those tapes on the 375 H&H improved Magnum that we did before Christmas.
Wow, that long ago.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was just interested in saying that, you know, the average person that can't afford that amount of investment.
If you want a real good rifle that's going to hit out to the range that this can, you're not going to get it without making that kind of investment.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Some of us can't afford it, though. You know?
Well, then you've got to settle with something that's not the.
That's why
doesn't have those kinds of capabilities.
300 Win Mag and get out around 1,000 yards, I guess, and do a pretty good job.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. If you can't afford it, you have to understand what the limitations are. But if you can't afford, what we gave you is the cheapest way to get out to that kind of range that we know of.
Right. Well, that's what I wanted to discuss with you, because if you had the information that would make it feasible, there's three or four of us that would put some money together and acquire that particular situation. If you have the tape, we'll probably send for it.
Yeah, we have the tapes. I believe it's a two or four. I believe it's two tapes. Yes, yeah, two tapes. So
thank you very much, and keep up the good work, man. You're doing an excellent, excellent job.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
Tim, let's go back here. And let's get into some of these things that that people don't normally think about. I just saw a mini style Alice pack. I mean, there's all kinds of packs in here, but let's get over this German OD survival sleeping bag parka. I've never seen anything like this before until you showed me. It's on page 21. And let's talk about that for a couple of minutes, because I think people are going to want to know about it. I don't think, from looking at this picture and reading this description here, they really know what this is capable of.
Well, this sleeping bag, when you put it on, when you get into it, it has armhole where you put your arms full length. And your
but actually sleeves. There's sleeves on a sleeping bag.
There are sleeves on a sleeping bag, and I believe it was designed for doing work both as a sentry on duty or a truck driver, because about three-quarters way down, there's a zipper that can open up, and you can take your legs and take them literally out of the sleeping bag, fold the sleeping bag part up underneath you, and sit down and drive a vehicle in cold weather where you have no heat.
It also has a strap so you can buckle that part up behind you and walk around.
Yes, this is true. So when these were first put on the market, they weren't so popular, and I was up at the surplus show in Vegas the first part of March, and they start coming out in quantities, and after looking them over, we bought several of them, and as of since the show till now, we've sold about three dozen of them. They're waterproof. They have a nylon outer cover, polyester fill. They have a dual purpose, like I say. in cold weather. Two weekends ago, I sold three of these units to some people that went up here in the White Mountains and camped out with their tents and a sleeping bag. And they put down a ground cloth, and they come back and told me the following Tuesday that they were just comfortable and happy that they had them. So we're going to be trying them out this coming weekend ourselves, and I'm sure they're going to work out all right. And they're comfortable, and you can move in them. They do have a medium and large size, according to what we can have translated in the German language. And I think they're going to work out for a lot of people.
Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing, Bill?
Good.
I want to, first of all, thank you for these programs that you do with Jim. They're very helpful to those of us who have never had any military experience. I do want to ask a question. I'm the head of a household that has four children, two of whom are under the age of two. And I'm just wondering if you ever plan to do, your daughter, I heard her the first Monday night you were back on the air in your new studio, sounds awfully young herself. Do you ever plan to do a show with Jim or somebody else in the that's got military survival experience for those of us who have families with young children? Because I see that as a big drawback in trying to survive out in the woods when all this comes down.
Yes, we can do that. I would, we'll talk about that another time. But, yeah, we can do that sometime in the future. We sort of take it for granted because Pooh, since she was born, has been involved in all of this. And in, she's not 4 years old yet, and she just got her CPR certification the other night. So,
sure.
So there are,
I'm sure, a lot more families out there that are interested in doing what we're doing to prepare for what's coming. And they're just scared to death about, what kind of a detriment it's going to be having the young children along who have just never done this.
And I may be remiss in not addressing that because Pooh is just a part of everything that we do. She goes to work with me. She's involved in everything. She's heard every speech I've ever made. She helps me do the radio show. And she has her own backpack, which she packs and carries when we do these kinds of drills. And so it never occurred to me, and I want to thank you for bringing that up.
We're doing that with our children. I mean, we go out hiking every day now. I have been since you first did these programs back in February or March. And, it's become part of our daily routine. But when all hell comes down, you know, we got to wonder how the children are going to react to all that.
Oh, you'll be amazed. The children will adapt and survive better than the adults will.
Really?
Yeah, that's always proven throughout history.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, if there is a time, sometime in the future, that you and Jim could get together and do a program specifically for helping those of us gather ideas together on what we can do to help help us get through this, those of us that have young children.
Sure.
I'd greatly appreciate it.
Well, one thing I can tell you from what we do in our family is include the children in everything that you do. No matter how hard, no matter how complicated, no matter what it entails, people have a tendency to dismiss children as not being able to participate or learn because of their age, and it's just not true. In fact, the younger they are, the easier it is for them to learn.
Ask you this then, on a psychological level, and I know what you think about psychologists. I have the same feeling too. But how much of what is coming down the pike do you recommend telling children that young?
The truth.
That what we're preparing for.
The truth. We've never withheld anything from Pooh. You hear how well adjusted she is when she talks in the air. Everybody who knows her. I shouldn't be saying this. Kim, tell them about Pooh.
Well, in my acquaintances with Pooh, this little gal is the biggest three-year-old that I've ever met. There's a coffee shop in town we go to, and everybody knows her, and she knows everybody by name. When we go out, Bill and I will go out and do things together, and she's right with us. She'll ask questions. She understands what we're doing. It's amazing.
And she understands why.
Yes, this is true.
That's what I was wondering, because I want my children to understand, too, exactly why we're doing what we're doing for God, family, and country.
Well, let me say this. When we were doing CPR this weekend, this little girl was right there when they were doing the infants, and did everything the instructor did, and she understands why she has to help little babies. Now, if you ask her if she's a little baby, she's going to tell you, no, I am a girl. And she made that very plain at the dinner table tonight.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you both for doing the good job you're doing, and please keep up the good work. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Thank you for calling. Tim, let's get into some of this. Well, it's time to take a break. Let's not. Let's go into this break, and we'll be right back in just a short period of time. Folks, don't go away.
Turn on the surveillance monitors. It's worse than I thought. Each morning at night, they trickle through the peak. They go home early. They come in late. Reeking of cheap liquor, they stumble through the day. Never give a thought to honest work for honest pay. I know it shouldn't vex me. I shouldn't take it hard. I should ignore their capering with a keenly disregard. But
look at all the idiots.
Oh, look at all those fools. An office full of morons. A factory full of fools.
Is it any wonder
I'm singing the blues?
Here's the heavy blast.
I'm just getting started. They make personal phone calls on company time. They give us their bucks and get who pays the dime. Their blatant thievery wounds me. Their ingratitude is found. I long to lure them to my home and then release the hound. I couldn't go unsettled when faced with such abuse. I shouldn't let it plague me. I shouldn't go abused. But
look at all those idiots.
Oh, look at all those fools. An office full of morons. A factory full of fools.
Is it any wonder
I'm singing, singing the blues? What happened? Where are the instruments?
I believe they call it a breakdown, sir.
I can't have any breakdowns here. What if there was an inspector around? Play a guitar solo.
I'm a little out of practice.
I said do it. So do it.
Yes, sir.
Folks, while you're listening to this program, I want you to understand that survival gear and equipment and first aid kits and Alice packs and map equipment and food storage and all of these things are not the only things that you need to have in order to survive the coming months and years. I don't know how many of you have been paying attention to what's happening in the political scene and in the financial or economic arena. I don't know how many of you have read the article in Time magazine recently written by Henry Kissinger about the New World Order. I don't know how many of you have been following all of the efforts to strip us of our rights and our means of defending ourselves with the right to keep and bear arms. I really don't know how many of you out there are really taking this as seriously as you should. But I want you to begin to try to evaluate the consequences on your own, not just because I tell you what's happening. As you heard at the beginning of the show, you're not supposed to believe me, or Tom Valentine, or Dan Rather, or Bill Clinton, or Bill Buckley, or anybody in this whole world, not even your own mother, unless you can prove it. And don't get offended because I say your mother. Remember, they were brought up in an era where they trusted government completely. Those are the people who are the hardest people to get to understand what's really going on, are the people who grew up trusting and believing and buying it all. So I'm not trying to insult anybody when I say that. I'm just trying to impress upon you that it's going to take an awful lot more than looking around for a leader and waiting for them to point you in the right direction. Now, what's coming is going to be a compilation of many different avenues, all leading to a breakdown of society and total chaos. It's planned. It's supposed to be that way. Everybody will run around raping and pillaging and killing unless you do what I've recommended, and that's organize your militias to protect your community, maintain law and order, prevent local warlords from rising up, and make sure that the law is maintained and carried out and the Constitution is applied, ladies and gentlemen. That's the only way that you'll prevent a total breakdown into utter chaos. But even if you're able to do that, times are going to be hard. The economic system will collapse. And if you don't have some real money, no matter what else you have in the way of materials that may enable you to survive, without that real money, you might find yourself in a situation where you have to barter away the things that you need to keep you and your family going and alive in order to fulfill some immediate unforeseen need. You may have to trade your whole food supply for the life of one of your children, for instance. Now, if you had some real money, you might not have to do that. I hope you're listening to what I'm saying. You may find that on one of your forays away from your camp, someone has come in and taken everything that you have. And without some real money buried or hidden somewhere, where only you have access to it, you may not be able to replace anything or continue on from that point forward into any future. So I want you to call our sponsor, Swiss America Trading. I want you to talk to them about how you can put some of your assets into real money that you can carry, that you can hide, that you can maintain, that you can use some future date to help you survive. The number is 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. Do it, folks. Don't procrastinate. Do it. Don't wait until you need it to find out that you don't have it. 1-800-289-2646. While you're at it, thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time.
Can you hear me in the booth?
Loud and clear, Lisa.
Oh, good. Thank you, sir, for letting me be in a real studio. It's a genuine thrill, sir. Could I trouble you with one request?
Sure thing.
No synthetic sound, please. I want all live musicians.
So what if you don't have, Tim? What do you do then?
Okay, what I'd like to get into, I want to read off to you folks out there what I have put together, for instance, in the three pocket medical kit, so you'll have some idea what's in it. You have the large kit bag, you have a large field bandage, And this field vantage is approximately 11 3/4 inches square. And it's dyed, sterilized dressing, sealed in aluminum foil. In there I have four oval eye patches, four 4x4 gauze pads, six 3x3 gauze pads, six 2x2 gauze pads, 12 regular band-aids, two Carlisle-style bandages. These are the military style that you might see in the movies, and they're large ones with the long tails of gauze on it. There's many things you could use those for.
Now, you're talking about really large bandages. I know a lot of people out there, when you talk about a large bandage, they think it's something for your thumb.
Now, these are wound-type bandages. They're approximately an inch thick. They're very absorbent for small and large wounds.
They'll cover the whole chest of a big man.
Yes, that's true. Also, six cotton swabs, 20 cotton balls, one bottle of potable aqua water tabs, two burn pads, eight bacterian ointment, six wash and dry towelettes, two bottles of iodine. These are large bottles. One bottle of eye wash, one issue chapstick, one belt type tourniquet, one small tourniquet, which is made of a latex rubber, assorted package of safety pins, an ice pack, two empty pill containers that you can put any of your medication in that you have to take with you, whether it's amoxicillin, penicillin, cold tablets, aspirins, or what have you, a pair of scissors, one 3-inch by 5 yards elastic bandage, one 2-inch by 5 yard elastic bandage, two wooden tongue depressors, six alcohol preps, four iodine preps, eight butterfly closures. These are band-aids that are cut like a butterfly that you can put on a wound to close it instead of having to stitch it up if it's not real bad. Four ammonia inhalants, one roll of half-inch tape, one roll of 1-inch tape, one pair of tweezers, two 3-inch by 5-yard rolls of sterile gauze, and one afterbite. It's an eraser type stick that you can put on bites and stings to take the itch out. Now that kit, complete, everything is brand new in it, is $64.95. The medium Alice pack with a frame.
Now wait a minute, let's cover the other first aid kit because I think it's important.
All right, the LC2 individual first aid kit. This is the one that goes on, like I said before, the LC2 suspender outfit with your pistol belt. And it comes with a first aid kit container and the insert, which are excellent condition. One pill container, empty. Two 3x3 gauze pads. Two oval eye pads. Six regular size band-aids. Four butterfly closures. Four iodine swabs, four alcohol swabs, two insect repellent swabs, two bacterial ointment, one roll of adhesive tape, one latex tourniquet, four wash and dry towelettes, and here again I put in the potable water tabs, the good ones made by Aqua, plus 2x2 gauze pads, one chapstick, one Carlisle bandage, and two ammonia inhalants. And I had that set out for $24.95.
Let's go to the phone now. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
Yes, Kurt from Angola.
Hi, Kurt.
In New York. We're near Buffalo. I kind of have a question about the MAC-90. Are you familiar with it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. As you probably know, then, it comes standard with the right-handed thumb hole stock.
Yes.
Okay. I was kind of wondering if, to your best of your knowledge, the legality of removing that stock and going with the traditional pistol grip and rifle stock, because I'm a left-handed shooter.
You can do whatever you want to, understanding that you bear the responsibility of what you do. The reason that they put those stocks on there was that's the only way that they could make them legal after they passed the law outlawing those kinds of weapons.
Violation, but I was just wondering if you had any further knowledge on that.
To me, it doesn't make any difference. A thumb hole like that is good if you have a weapon that has a lot of recoil, because your grip on that, through that thumb hole, that sort of a pistol grip with a thumb hole, can help alleviate some of the recoil. If it doesn't have a lot of recoil, it just means that you have to shoot the weapon a different way than you normally would.
Okay. And again, I was just kind of wondering if maybe you don't have to do it now, but maybe before you go off for the night, if you could repeat the address for the catalog.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Okay. And I'm getting a full meter on you, and you're coming up this way real good.
Right.
And I enjoy your show, and every night I'm a noble listener, and you've got my mind going.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay, let's get back into some of this stuff. Tim, what's next?
Okay, what I'd like to get into next is some map gear. We can get back to some individual gear a little bit later. In the midsection of the catalog on page 42, we start with laminating sheets. We have different types of magnifiers in there for map reading for the fine lines. Going through it, we have different types of...
Now, wait a minute. You're doing the chicken plucker's job. The chicken plucker.
What's chicken plucker?
The guy that's so afraid of the microphone, he won't come up here and talk about his own stuff.
Oh. Oh, well. We'll help John out. I mean, you know.
To try to be nice, we just call him the chicken plucker.
All right.
That's the guy that stuffs the mattress. You know, the sailors sleep on. Go ahead. Yeah, we'll be nice to John. We'll help him out here.
Okay, we have map measures. These type measures, you can run the roads or from one area to another, and it will give you the distance. We have compass, different types of compasses and protractors. We have chart pack tape. We have transparent tape in there. Also removable tape. Different size rubber bands. We just tried to put together in this catalog different things that people might use. Loose leaf rings to keep your some of your maps together. Big binder clips, scissors, hand punch to put holes in paper. Staple guns, the X-Acto knife that they have in here, and the different replacement blades. It's come in many times putting this catalog together. So there's a lot of different things you could use it for, putting maps together, overlays, terrain features, things like this if you're doing map studies or have map classes together. We have pens. Then we go into calculators, credit card size solar calculators. We have scientific calculators. We have stereo cassette players. So that if you're out exercising, walking, jogging, whatever, you can take one of these with you, put in the hour of the time, and you can listen to the tapes while you're exercising.
Good evening, you're on the air.
Greetings and felicitations. This is Tim, Middletown Valley. How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Yeah. For those folks that are inclined to be using things like submachine guns and such, I came across an Israeli mortar pouch that'll work fairly well as a magazine pouch for over 30-round magazines. You wear it on your leg like a gun belt or like a holster. But there's something I'd like to pick on you about. Somebody a couple days ago, was mentioning Damascus steel, and he said, that's old stuff. Well, I guess I'll come to the defense of my next-door neighbor, who is the guy that brought it back. Like a piece of plywood, it'll bend rather than break. Like a leaf spring, it'll return to straight, and iron and steel together will create a knife that's so sharp it'll be like a scalpel. Unfortunately, the downside is it's expensive. Number two, it rusts.
That's absolutely correct.
Now, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, up pops Mystery Babylon from, of all people, the guy that put my phone in. He hits my wife with a piece of paper. Did you ever hear of an outfit called Treminose?
No.
Okay, it's a modern-day school for the exploration of human consciousness, patterned after the ancient mystery schools, which taught the sacred arts of inner knowledge and personal mastery.
There you go, holding out that promise of some secret esoteric knowledge.
Yeah, we got a couple different things. It says stand and deliver, Nexus Pathways. Nexus Pathways, Pathways was heart initiation, whatever the heck that is. Pathways 2 is gateway to the shadow, whatever the world that is. You'll like this one. Third eye initiation, the seer is awakened. And we got here the inner dance relationship, women's mystery, blah, blah, blah. And archetypical energetics, whatever that is. Mythic patterns, inner relationship. All from the guy that put in my phone. Here, I thought we were safe down here in the valley.
Yeah. Well, we got to get back to this catalog stuff. And I got news for you. They don't know what it means either, so don't
My wife said, what kind of garbage is this? I said, oh, I know what this is.
It's fantasy land. You go to some of their seminars and listen to them, and it's everybody's playing a game.
Not for $2,450. I'm not going to anybody's thing.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Catch you later. Bye-bye.
Oh, in case you all should get the wrong idea about the chicken plucker, we're just playing a game. That's a man that if the you-know-what hits the fan, he'll be right there with us, and he'll be one dangerous dude, I guarantee you. He may be afraid of this microphone, but he's not afraid of anything else.
Okay, in the communications section of the catalog, we have the Panasonic portable shortwave radio at AM, FM, single sideband. It is a nice unit. We have different types of scanners in the catalog, Maxim radios. We have antennas, connectors of all types in there, Millennium recharge batteries.
Now you need all of these things, folks, believe it or not. Some of these things sound frivolous, but you'd be amazed how much you really need them. And to be fully prepared, there's nothing in here that you're not going to need or can't use. And you should be looking for ways to make all of your electronic equipment adaptable to being recharged by solar cells and or to be powered by solar cells or wind energy or something like that. Because remember, when things really get bad, the first thing that shuts off, even in just a little old thunderstorm, is the electricity. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes. It's an honor to talk to you. Hey, this is Matt from Texas.
Hi, Matt.
And last night's show was really good. That was great. That got me thinking again. I'd like to see you do a show on Romans chapter 1. But anyway, let's see. I got a few questions. My first question is, what would you recommend for members of the reserves, like the Army or Navy reserves? I mean, how do you think those reserve units will be used? What would you recommend for a patriot who's in the reserves?
I would recommend that you start educating your officers and your non-commissioned officers into what's really going on. And if they look at you like you're crazy, you just get the documentation that proves it and give it to them and say, read this, dummy. There's going to be a time when they're going to ask us to shoot on our own fellow Americans, and you're going to have to make up your mind right now whether or not you're going to do it.
Huh. I've kind of mentioned some of these things. I've mentioned some of this to my reserve members, and they seem all pretty loyal. I mean, if somebody told them to shoot on American citizens, they wouldn't do it.
They seem pretty loyal until somebody gives them an order, and they're confronted with disobeying the order or possibly being arrested and going to jail. And then you'll find out who's who and what's what. Most people will do exactly what they're told when they're told by whoever's in authority.
Yeah, that makes
sense. It takes a strong, morally knowledgeable, and committed individual to do what's right instead of what they're told.
Okay, I've got another question. What do you say, get out of large cities? What cities are too large? I'm in a city of 200,000, put it that way.
Well, that's too large. Okay. What do you think would happen if all of a sudden there's no food, the water's shut off, the electricity's shut off? What do you think is going to happen?
Every man for himself.
That's right. What if you got a can of peas in your cabinet and your neighbors don't?
Oh, they're probably going to want it after a while.
That's right.
And
when law and order breaks down?
It'll just be me and my shotgun, I guess.
Well, I think that should answer your question. If you look back through history, what happens in cities when law and order breaks down and when the normal necessities of everyday life disappear?
Mm-hmm.
People start killing each other. kids kill their parents. Neighbors kill their neighbors. Man might kill his wife. People eat each other.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes. Well, I'm getting ready for that, you know, as best I can. You know. But how would you recommend we get ready for this on a budget? I mean, I'm a student right now.
Well, sit down and determine what you're spending on what and how much you're spending on what and how much you don't need to spend on those things and allot that money to other things that you're going to need in the future. It calls for self-discipline. It calls for knowing what to do without. People tell me all the time they can't afford this, they can't afford that, and I follow them right down to the local bar where they spend $20 a day on beer.
Yep. Well, I cut my beer budget. That was the first thing to go. I'm doing that. I constantly every month, you know, reevaluate my budget to try and figure out how much I, you know, where I can cut money.
Yeah, and it's not just beer. I just use that as an example. There's many, many things that we spend money on that we don't need to be spending money on.
Yep.
I gotta let you go because we're almost out of time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye bye. Tim, we're out of time. Is there anything real quick that you want to? Real quick.
All right. What I wanted to say on the solar gear is that when you call in for questions from back east, remember there's 3 hours time difference between Arizona and back east, and John would be the man to talk to. We'll take messages, and he can call you back on it. And if I can help in any way on your questions, just call area code 602-337-2975. We're there from 9 in the morning until 5:30 in the evening.
Remember, the phone order number is 1-800-788-3320. That's 1-800-788-3320. You can fax in your orders. And the address, if you'd like to send for a catalog, or if you'd just like to write to Tim, do not write to me at the catalog address, because I've instructed Tim to send your letters back if you do. Okay? That's not me. That's a business. It's mail orders, P.O. Box 3300. P.O. Box 3300. St. John's, Arizona, 85936. That's P.O. Box 3300, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. Good night, folks, and God bless you all.
I was born to make you happy. I think you're just my style. Everywhere I go, telling everyone I know, baby, I love to see you smile. In the summer, in the springtime, winter or fall, the only place I want to be is where I can see you smile at me. Like a stick without a buzzet.
Like a what without a dialogue?
What would I do if I didn't love you? I'd love to see you smile.